Hello, my name is Sam Clements, and welcome to this special episode of the Picture House podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by Ruby Barnhill, who you may have seen in Steven Spielberg's The BFG. Ruby was in the lead role, starring alongside Mark Rylance. Her next big screen appearance is in voice form only in Mary and the Witch's Flower, a new animation from Studio Ponoc, who are set up by several former members of staff from Studio Ghibli, who made movies like Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle, My Neighbor Totoro, more recently When Marnie Was There, all stuff which we've played at Picture House and we really, really love. And we were quite sad actually when Ghibli announced they were going to cease production. It's a joy to see that the spirit of Ghibli carries on in the work of Studio Ponoc. The studio was set up by producer of When Marnie Was There, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, and this first film is directed by the director of When Marnie Was There and Arrietty, Hiromasa Yonebayashi. The film is an adaptation of Mary Stuart's 1971 children's book, The Little Broomstick. Often with animations, as they're released around the world, they'll be recorded in the local language, of course, that makes a lot of sense. In the UK, we quite like to screen the original Japanese version, which we will be doing at Picture House, but we also have this wonderful English language version, which has been really carefully put together and so well cast. I think Ghibli always had a good reputation with their English language versions, often casting huge Hollywood A-listers. And this, the spirit kind of carries on, really, with Mary and the Witch's Flower. So, as well as Ruby Barnhill, who is perfect as the titular Mary, she is joined by Kate Winslet, Jim Broadbent, Morwenna Banks, Ewan Bremner, to fill out the rest of the cast. And it's a film that's actually set in England, despite being a Japanese animation. And it just totally works. I thought it was really smart what they did. And it was a real thrill to talk to Ruby just after she came off stage, introducing a special London preview. So without further ado, here is Ruby Barnhill. Ruby, thank you very much for talking to us today.
No problem, thank you.
And for doing so on a Sunday morning. That's dedication.
Thanks.
So we're here at the cinema where they're actually playing Mary and the Witch's Flower.
Yes, yeah.
Have you seen it on a big screen?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times actually, and it was great. I love it so much.
Did you see the version before your voice was in it?
I haven't actually seen the Japanese version, but I'd like to see it.
I love that with something like animation, you can sort of recast and you can do what the film needs for different audiences.
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
How did this come to you in the first instance? What was your first interaction with Mary?
I was asked to do just some kind of, I had to do like read from some kind of different books and then send it through to the producers and the director in Japan. And there were a few girls actually. I think I got down to the last kind of few and then they picked me. So I was so excited when I got the part. I was thrilled because I'd always wanted to do like a Japanese kind of anime, like manga film, because I'd grown up with the Studio Ghibli film since I was 4 years old.
Oh,
so I was really, really excited to be able to do one.
What goes through your head when you hear there's a filmmaker in Japan who, you know, wants to hear your voice?
It was so cool. I mean, it was such an honour as well to do the first Studio Ponoc film. And it was so nice to know that the actual Japanese like producers and directors had thought about it really carefully and then picked me. It was really, really nice.
Before you sort of did any work on it, did you know what the character of Mary would look like?
I didn't actually. I was very curious about it. I'd looked up on Google like some stuff about, because obviously it had already come out in Japan. So I did see what she looked like, but I had no idea what any of the other characters looked like. And then when I got sent the script to read, they very kindly sent me a picture of all the characters and I was just in awe of all of them.
Oh, nice. Behind the scenes stuff. How does it work actually on a technical level when you're doing something like this, considering the film has already been made?
Yeah, so it sometimes would be quite tricky to kind of fit the English lines obviously into the Japanese mouth movement. So we did sometimes have to kind of experiment with things, and it took 3 weeks overall to do, which actually isn't that long. So we got it done and it was a lot of fun to do as well. It was my first ever voiceover film and it was a great experience.
Was it sort of what you were expecting, or was it
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, like when I really wanted to become an actress, I used to watch kind of behind the scenes of a lot of films, you know, like Harry Potter and stuff like that. So I'd always watch behind the scenes of films and I'd watch some voiceovers. And so I kind of knew the setup, you know, you had like a microphone and you had the screen and you'd speak into it. But when I first arrived, it was very new to me. I was very nervous, but I got into it.
Do you go through it in order so you can sort of get into the emotional place
for
the characters?
Yeah, we did. I'm very happy we went through it in order, actually. And I think with most voiceover films, they usually just follow the script. I'm not sure if that's the same for all of them, but for the ones I've done anyway. And that was really, really helpful because, like I said, I was very nervous on the first day and I didn't really know how to kind of portray betray her and everything. But then once I got really used to it and discovered her like emotions and her personality, it was really, really fun.
You get to use your imagination a fair bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you get to do different versions of line readings and, you know, try things in a different way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, imagination was really key with this because obviously with voiceover, you are just using your voice. It's very different to on-screen acting where everything is about physical movement, because with voiceover, you have to portray so many emotions with just your voice. So it was really fun experimenting with the lines.
Who else is in the room with you? Is the director of the film there?
We had an English director named Giles, who's a lovely man. I've worked with him a couple of times. He's so, so nice. And the producer, Jeff, was there with me as well. I also had John. He was really, really great. He kind of sorted out, kind of, he would fit the voice to the lines and stuff like that. He's really talented. And I really got to know all of them really well. And it was really fun.
That sounds great. I got to go to Ponant a few months ago, but I met Jeff and he said the recording sessions were very fun.
Yeah, Jeff was great. We had a lot of fun. It was really great.
Were you recording with the other actors at all? Or do you do your bits sort of in isolation?
Yeah, I did do my 3 weeks in isolation just alone. And I didn't actually get to meet any of the other actors in the film. I did meet Louis Circus, who plays Peter, and he was really nice. But yeah, so it was, I was on my own. Yeah. But all the voices work so well together. They all blend together really well. They sound great.
No, absolutely. So is there someone else in the room who's playing sort of all the other characters?
No, so some of the characters were pre-recorded. So I think Zebedee was one of the characters, and Great Aunt Charlotte and Miss Banks, they were all recorded before me. So that was quite nice to have their voice. And then there was a guide for everyone else's voice. So like for Dr. D's voice and Madame Mumblechuck's voice, there was a guide just so I could kind of hear when it ended and when it started and stuff like that.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It must have been a completely different process to working on the BFG.
Yes, it was very different. Obviously, like with on-screen acting, it's all about your facial expressions and your physical movements. And obviously you have to kind of be in costume and your hair has to be a certain way, or, you know, and your shoes have to be a certain way and stuff like that. But with voiceover, you could honestly show up in your pajamas if you wanted to. I never did, but you could if you wanted to. And so there's not really any pressure to kind of look a certain way or anything like that. And obviously, like I said, it's all about the voice, so it was really interesting.
Which process do you prefer, or are there bits of both that you actually quite enjoyed?
I think there are definitely advantages and disadvantages to both. With on-screen acting, it can be a bit easier to portray emotions, just because obviously you have, you know, your face is seen, so you can show all your facial expressions and stuff like that. But then a disadvantage to on-screen acting is, you know, it's a lot kind of harder in the sense that you're having to kind of follow direction. You have to kind of do lots of movement and stuff. And an advantage to voiceover acting, I would say, is just like the opposite of that, really. You can just relax and sit down a lot, really. Have a drink, you know, have a snack, stuff like that. And then a disadvantage would be it can sometimes be quite hard to, especially in scenes if the character is, you know, really upset or really, really excited, it can be quite hard to kind of portray that over.
I guess having that experience on the BFG doing live action makes you sort of appreciate
the
point of difference.
Definitely, definitely.
Both films are based on beloved, you know, children novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a happy coincidence?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd never actually read The Little Broomstick before doing Marrying the Witch's Flower, but I did get a chance to read some of it, and it's such a nice story. And the film is based off of the story, obviously, and even though a few things have changed, it still follows that same line. And I love children's books growing up. I used to read them every night. I'd get my mum and dad to read them to me when I was younger. And I think it's children's stories are just so imaginative and really, really lighthearted, and just like the film, really.
Is it nice, I guess, when you're doing your performance to know that there's something else you can read for, you know, maybe additional information?
Very nice, because it's interesting to see the contrast between the script and the story. And it also can help you to kind of, you know, like reading something that the author has actually written, as if a film is based off of a book, is like I kind of did with BFG when I read the BFG. It helps you to know the character a lot more, so that was great.
Has it sort of inspired you to read Mary Stuart's other works?
I'm not sure, actually. I'm not really that familiar with any of her other storybooks, but I'll definitely check them out, because The Little Broomstick is a great one.
And then I guess after you've done your voiceover, how long was it until you actually saw your voice in the film with everybody else?
I went to a cast and crew screening here in London. I recorded it in the summer, so I think I went to see it in kind of October, November-ish time, or maybe a bit later than that. It definitely wasn't in 2018. It was in 2017 when I went to see it. And I was really, really amazed. I mean, there are some moments where I kind of cringe a bit because I'm like, oh, my voice there and stuff. But overall, I was really amazed by the whole thing.
Because it's not your face or your appearance on screen, is it sort of easier to watch and disassociate yourself from it?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, like it's good to kind of know that if people watch this film and they don't see like my name on the poster, or they don't know I'm in it, they won't know I'm in it. That's kind of like, because, and that's kind of another advantage really. But I think it was just so great to do, and I'd grown up with these Studio Ghibli films, and so it was such an honor to be able to do the first Studio Ponoc film, and I'm so excited for your audiences to see it.
Absolutely, we're very excited to show
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for talking
thank
to us.
Thank you. Thanks.
Listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.